former Dolphins, Bears, Pitt head coach, Dave Wannstedt, kind enough to join us once again on the Hardee's Hotline. Dave, thanks for your time. And what did you think? I mean, you're a defensive guy. You're a conservative guy. Okay, the way Fox handled the last 2.5 minutes.
You know, my first response, who won the game? Okay, if they if it was a good call if you win, it was a bad call if you lose. That's usually how things are evaluated. But you know what? At the end of the day, it was the deep pass on prevent defense. God, I mean, three-man rush. I'm watching it at home and my stomach's turning on. I mean, I don't know how that happens. And then the pick. I mean, you know, the interception by Peyton at the end. I mean, those are the two plays. It really, and I know what you know, or what you're talking about throwing it. I think you got to sit back and you got to say, okay, at that point in the game, you know, were they trying to force timeouts? How good did they feel about a play? How good did they feel about a matchup? That was a defensive call, though. There's no question. Offensive coaches would have probably gone for it. You know, as a former head coach and defensive coordinator, I can see what John's thinking. I mean, you know, they need a touchdown. It's not like they need a field goal. I mean, a tough one. Two critical plays that should never happen. The turnover and then obviously the Hail Mary. I mean, when you're in a semi-prevent defense, that's what's mind-boggling to me.
How many times, Dave, is that safety told, whether it's during the week in practice, in that huddle? I mean, as this is going on, how many times do you think he was told after the ball goes back to Baltimore and they have to drive essentially the length of the field and score a touchdown to force overtime, how many times was that safety told, nobody gets behind you?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they had a call. In other words, we would have a call. We had a call with the Bills and every place I've been. When you get in that situation, it's not Hail Mary, okay? So it's not the last play of the game, but we would call it we had something that we called a fence play where it was three deep where we had to keep them in bounds so they could not get out of bounds if they needed a field goal. And then we had the last 30 seconds of a game where we would play the corners deep. You know, the only thing about the Denver coverage that I was watching TV, just like you guys, it looked like the corner squatted and the safety was rolling over the top where, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like having our corners with a little bit more speed in that situation deep along with your safety deeps. And then you put some nickelbacks or somebody else in the underneath coverage. Now, if you're trying to keep them in bounds, then you got to squat the corner and you, as I said, and you got to get the safety over the top. But, those guys know what they're doing, and that should never happen. Should never happen.
Well, Dave, as fate would have it, yesterday, Seattle's in a position with a highly respected defensive coordinator who's interviewing for head coaching jobs, and they handle 25 seconds left, Atlanta at their own 28, and they handled it completely differently. They zone blitz twice and had six guys back in coverage in a zone and got beat both times on two 20-yard pass plays and end up losing the game. So two teams handled the situation totally differently. Both lost.
Right, right. Well, the one, correct. And again, you know, what's your philosophy? I've always thought of the three-man rush. When you get down under 30 seconds and they need a touchdown, you know, even if they need a field goal, I mean, depending on the down distance, I think it's a good call, you know, and there's another philosophy too, you know, with quarterbacks. You cover the bat, the great ones, and you rush the ones, that aren't as experienced or aren't as good. You know, so I don't know. In that situation, when we played Tom Brady, you know, last year at the Bills, we held Tom, I believe, to the lowest passing rating of any defense all year, when we played him. You know, and still lost the game. I mean, he still threw for, I think, 300 yards. But the philosophy was, hey, we mixed in a little bit of pressure to keep him honest. But you try to defend the great ones. That's my philosophy has always been.
When you watch Colin Kaepernick play, Dave, what do you do from a defensive standpoint? What do you see not being done that can slow San Francisco's offense down?
Well, you know, it's all the quarterback read with a little different option scheme. I mean, they were running some option yesterday where it wasn't just the dive quarterback coming out like Seattle does and read the defensive end. If he ends up the field, we're going to give it off. If he closes, I'm going to keep it. You know, I mean, you know, football 101 from a quarterback read. What they were doing, they were pulling a tight end and a lineman and getting a blocker out in front of you. It was almost, and I'll bet you if we went back and talked about it, and if you asked the guys at San Francisco, it was almost a designed quarterback run. In other words, they faked the dive. Someone's got to tackle the dive. Now, without the quarterback reading it, now you got a blocker out in front of them. So whoever is responsible for the quarterback now is getting blocked. And so now you're forcing your secondary to come up, and it was a nice scheme. You know, we played the Niners this year. They gassed us on the same play. We were late getting our safety up, you know, and he was saying, well, I don't have the quarterback. I said, well, you have the quarterback. If there's a blocker on the guy that does, so, you know, it forces you to kind of change your scheme. That was not first-time plays that they ran. I mean, the plays that the Niners ran and even Seattle at the end there, you know, that's stuff that they really have been doing all year long. And that's kind of the way the league's going now. I mean, it's you know, the big question is going to be when you're paying these quarterbacks this amount of money, you know, what kind of longevity will these guys all be playing and have the length of the career a la John Elway, Dan Marino, Tom Brady? You know, I mean, how are these guys going to the longevity with running the ball as much as they do? And I think, you know, I mean, RG3, I mean, hopefully he's okay, but there's an example. You know, the best option quarterback that's probably ever, statistically, has ever played in college is Pat White, the kid from West Virginia. He lasted 1 year with the Dolphins, and then he got hurt the Steeler game and never played again. So, hey, it puts pressure on the defense in the NFL. There's no question. It takes you out of a lot of man schemes. It puts you in a lot of zone schemes. It forces you to do some things that you haven't done. But, you know, it's you know, that whole quarterback run game is transferring over from college to the NFL, and teams are having success with it.
Well, and I know it's complicated to talk about and to do it simply in a limited amount of time, but when you were at Pitt, you had to defend Pat White and that offense. And in the biggest right. game that they ever played, you totally shut them down. And Pat had guys around him who ended up playing on Sundays. And when right. you go all the way back to your early NFL days with the Cowboys, you had to deal with a young Randall Cunningham and probably putting a spy on him. So just talk, I mean, you know, we got 25 years of football to pick your brain about. What in the world do you do?
Well, I think you got to mix it up, but an example with Pat White. And with if you're playing, in my opinion, if you're playing the Redskins, you don't want a healthy RG3 carrying the ball. So you got to start with your scheme of taking away the quarterback. And, you know, I thought, you know, that's got to be your emphasis. And, you know, that's what the way I always approach it. And I think that's what you're going to see now, that you are going to see some hits on quarterbacks. I think defensive coaches are finally said, hey, enough is enough. You watch what happens next year. They're going to have a full offseason to study this stuff. And when that quarterback comes down the line of scrimmage, he is a ball carrier. So he is live. So you're either going to be handing it off or I think you're going to see an increase of quarterback hits, legitimate hits, than what you've ever seen. And because the schemes will start changing a little bit to take away the quarterback, they're going to say, you know what? You want to hand the ball off? Go ahead. We'll get one guy on the dive, but we're going to have one or two guys on the quarterback and we're going to make them pay.
Almost sounds like you're saying, Dave, if you end up taking a penalty for hitting a quarterback in the first quarter, that defensive coordinator is going to say, well, I'll take that over the course of the first few games.
Well, if it's not helmet to helmet, there's not going to be a penalty. You know, if he's handing that ball off, and you're coming in to make the tackle, you know, as long as it's within the rules and he's not defenseless and you don't do anything crazy, quarterbacks are going to start getting hit a lot more within that scheme, I promise you.
Very quickly, Dave, how Baltimore, older team, they do have the extra day, but, you know, they had to play two games short span, a bunch of travel, fourth longest game ever in the altitude. Do you think there's any effect? Would you be concerned if the Ravens were your team about your team's legs for the AFC Championship game Sunday?
No. I think, you know, I think they've got receivers that they've got enough depth at receiver. I think Ray Rice, they got two good young running backs. That would not be a factor in my mind. I do agree, you know, Ray Lewis and some of those guys, but the emotion of this game is, you know, I've been very fortunate. You know, been in a lot of Super Bowls, national championship games. And when you get to that point, I don't really remember anybody saying I was tired or my legs, you know, I mean, the emotion of the game and what's at stake, you know, it's amazing what the human body will do when you got that adrenaline flowing and the excitement and everything involved in an opportunity to go to a Super Bowl. And that's what we're talking about here.
Dave, great having you on again. Appreciate it.
Fairways and greens, okay. Coach.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you. I'm doing construction work around my house.
What do you mean? No golf? Are you kidding me? It's the off season.
I've been down here two weeks. I'm close on a couple job things, you know, NFL things I'm looking at. And all I got is projects around the house with Brown Construction. They're over here. My wife's, I haven't hit but on the golf course yet.
So all right.
No,
things.
I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Two things.
Good talk.
First off, it was 86 last week. You didn't play golf. You did construction. And what jobs?
She's finding things. I've been averaging about 10 days a year. I've had this place in Naples since I was the coach of the Dolphins, and I get down here 10 days a year for the most part. She's here all the time with my kids and stuff. So now I'm here for 2 weeks, and she's finding a lot of things that she wants corrected. So that's I'm looking for a job, guys. Okay, I got to get out. Hopefully, I won't be pounding nails. You know, hopefully, I'll be coaching.
Coach, thanks for your time, Dave Wanstead, who was with the Bills this year, former Dolphins, Bears, and Pitt head coach.